Blog Talk Radio.
Glory to God. We are truly lost without our Father. We can't breathe. We can't walk. We can't talk without our Father. Glory be to God. And hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God. You truly worthy, God. Well, tonight I have a speaker, a guest speaker, a mighty man of God. One of my spiritual fathers. He's going to come forth with the word of God tonight, and I just thank God for him, and I thank God for how God uses him. Glory be to God and all how God had used him to what he has put into me. Glory be to God. And I just thank God for that. So sit back and enjoy the word tonight. Glory to God. A prophet, Lord, are you on the line?
Praise the Lord, sister.
Praise the Lord, man of God. I turn the lines over to you.
Well, we give God the glory, woman of God. First, we praise God for all that he has done. Thank God for such an outstanding job that you're doing to minister the word. Jesus said we would do greater works, and truly you are fulfilling that word, that prophecy that we're using the airways, whether it's the internet or telephone, whatever ways we're using to magnify the name of the Lord. If we lift up Christ, then truly God will draw men unto him. Also, I thank God for you for allowing me the privilege to minister the word of God, always recognizing that it's he to give us the desire to preach, the will to preach, the wisdom to preach, the words to preach, so we always acknowledge him. And most definitely acknowledging the Holy Spirit. For without Holy Spirit, we don't get led, we don't get fed, we don't get directed. So we do honor him in all that we do. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, we're going to get into the word, woman of God. And this, we're going to do it for all those who listen. Thank you so much for tuning in. We know that you're going to get blessed by the word of God. But prior to going in that, we're going to pray and we're going to make our faith declarations. And then we're going to get into the word. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity and the privilege to be able to speak the word of God to those who are listening. We are ecstatic because you use clay in order to bring forth your will. So, Holy Spirit, I step back, I decrease, and allow you to utilize me as your gift to minister to the word to the people of God, knowing, Father God, it is not me, but it is you. Holy Spirit, you are the teacher. You bring forth things to my remembrance, so I can only say what you give me to say. And I submit to your perfect will, and that is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our faith declaration is that the word of God will go forth with free course. It will not be hindered by any outside forces, that those who hear will be pricked in their hearts and incited to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, and also those who hear the word who are in a distant place or a particular place will begin to maximize the word of God in their lives, that they will carry out the purpose that God has for their life. Praise the Lord. Tonight I want to teach on, as I felt impressed in my spirit by Holy Spirit, to teach on, and the title actually is Pleasing God. Simple title, Pleasing God. And so what we're going to do is try to get you to understand that it's God's desire for us to please him, some of the challenges that we have as believers in pleasing him, and some of the things we need to do that is pleasing to God. If you will turn with me, those who have the scriptures, to Revelations, the fourth chapter. Fourth chapter of Revelation, and in here lies just basically what the whole purpose of it is, the summarization of why God created us and why we're here. A lot of people ask that question, why are we here, and what's my purpose? Well, Revelation, the fourth chapter, the 11th verse says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. So we find here in the scripture that the Bible tells us that God created all things, and we were created to be pleasing, or we were created for his pleasure. So it was pleasing to God to create us, and we are designed to please him. It is an inherent desire. It is the inherent desire of man to please. We all try and make attempts to please others. But it's in our DNA. It's who we are. We were created with that desire to please. However, we get that misconstrued with trying to please man versus trying to please God. That's why we all are trying to please God. So it is our inherent desire to do so. Now, we realize that God is at work in us so that we can please him. He is at work in us so that we can please him. Again, those who have that scripture can turn with me to Philippians, the second chapter. That's Philippians, the second chapter. And we can get to the Word of God to find out how God is at work in me to please Him. Philippians, the second chapter. Turn it over to verse number 12, I believe. As a matter of fact, verse number 13. Let's go to 13. It is, as for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Both to will and to do of His good pleasure. It's important that we understand there's two things, there's twofold things that God is trying to do in us. He's trying to work His will for us to do His pleasure. So if he is working His will in us, His desire. The Bible tells us that we receive the desires of our heart. Amen. We receive the desire in our heart because our desire should become the desire of God. David said this. He said, "Thy word, Lord, have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." That word "hid" talks about putting it in a treasured place, putting it in a place of reverence, a place of respect. There are certain places you will put fine jewelry or fine china. You just don't leave that out. But you put it in a sacred place of safety. You cherish it. So what David said is, "I'm going to put the word of God in a sacred and a secret place or a pleasurable place in my heart that I might not sin against Him." Praise the Lord. And so it is God working in us to will and to do of good pleasure. So He wants us to have a will to please Him, and He wants us to please Him. Will, having a desire, having a focus and a purpose to please Him, do, actively making an effort towards doing those things that are pleasing to God. If we live a life pleasing to God, then we'll have a life of prosperity, productivity, and promise. Prosperity, productivity, and promise. You know, so we'll be productive and begin to produce the necessary fruit that God has for us. And then when we do those different things from prosperity, you know, productivity, and promise, then we see the promotion that God has for us. God is looking to promote us in Him when we understand our purpose in life. Our main purpose in life is to fulfill, is to please God. And we please Him by, A, doing His will, amen, His will, His desires becoming our desire, and then doing what He has called for us to do. Now, we understand that we have been predestined to please God. We have been predestined to please God, and He has made known His mystery to us. We have been predestined. God has designed us to please Him. He has given us a life already prescripted for us to live, a direction for us to go that is the pleasing thing for us. Praise the name of the Lord. There are parents who have children who would like their children to be particular things because they see things in that child. So what they do is they try to put things in their path so that they can direct them or steer them into their direction in conjunction to the talent that they have. I'm not talking about the parents who are trying to live their dream vicariously through their children, but parents who can see what is in that child, realize that child might not be a baseball player, but he might be a mathematical genius. Or he might not be a mathematical genius, but he might be a preacher. And so they see those things, and they begin to steer them in that direction. So now, He predestined us so that we may please Him. We're in Ephesians, the first chapter, and we'll read several verses. Start with verse number 3. So Ephesians 1, start with verse number 3. And then I'm going to kind of to expound on the scripture as we go along. Verse 3 says, Blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we may be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Let's stop there. Let's talk about all these things. The purpose for all these things that He had provided for us was for, according to the scripture, the good pleasure of His will. So, again, we find this word will, and we find this word pleasure. And, again, it is Him who is working in us to will and to do. So now our will should be lined upon His will. The Bible talks about the word of God being line upon line, precept upon precept. Well, our will should be line upon line and precept upon precept with the will of God. So now we've blessed God We give him glory because he has already given us all spiritual things. There's a life that God has designed for you, that he has already given you everything you need to live the life that you live. Sometimes we get off in areas of our lives that God has not called for us to do or called for us to be, and we have a hard place because there is no provision in that area of life for you. There's no provision in that lifestyle for you. But there is provision in the life and the lifestyle that God has predestined for you. If you're walking according to his will, he has already supplied you everything you will need to have in order to live the life and the lifestyle that he has that is pleasing for you. So here again, I backtrack a little bit and I talk about how the parent sees in the child what that child is and kind of steers that child into his or her greatness. There are things that you have purpose, God has purpose in you. There are some things that are in you. You need to begin to allow God to manifest his power through you doing the things that God has called you to do. Some people are called to be doctors. Some are called to be nurses. Some are called to be preachers. Some are called to be evangelists. Some people are just called to be helpers. And so God put that in you and has given you the provision that it takes to be successful in the vein in which he called for you to do. The Bible says, let us walk worthy in the vocation wherein we are called. We are called. We all have a calling to a certain place. The Bible says that the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Well, let me solidify that because sometimes we get off on that scripture. It is not talking about spiritual gifts. It is talking about man's natural ability to do things in the earth. There are some things that people can do naturally, but we call them gifts. Some people are naturally smart, and we say they're gifted because they're smart. Some people that are naturally fast, we say they're gifted or they're talented. So those natural things that we have, praise the name of the Lord, are the gifts and calling. You know, someone talks about their calling of cooking, a calling to teach. Those are calling. But you cannot, they do not talk about spiritual gifts because in order to have that, you have to have Holy Spirit. And if you're not saved, guess what? You can't receive Holy Spirit until you first receive Christ. So it's talking about the natural gifts and talents that we have in our lives to be productive, to bring pleasure to God. Moving right along, going to verse 4 in Ephesians 1 and 4. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So before the foundation of the world, the Bible tells us, before the foundation of the world, that we are to be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, let's talk about that word holy. Holy or holiness. Holy and holiness, it is not a word that talks to us concerning how long a skirt should be and how we talk and things of that nature. That's not what holy and holiness is. Holiness is living free from sin. Now, here's the thing about holiness as well. Holiness talks about being set apart for a particular use. That's what holiness is about. It's twofold, being set apart and then having a particular use. In other words, we set it aside because there is an intent in the thing. There's something that we intend for this thing to do. There is a design for this thing, so we set it aside so that we can make a demand upon it when we want to use it. Praise the name of the Lord. We set our grills aside, you know, because that grill is designed to cook when we want to cook outside. It has a particular use. We set it apart from the stove. We don't put it next to the stove. It has a different purpose. It can also do some of the same things. However, it has a different purpose. There are some things in your life that God has a purpose for, so he sets you aside or he calls you from something to something so that he may use you to please him. And the pleasure that God takes in that is when you are maximizing the gifts and the talents that he gave you, and then you are using the things that he has given you, the resources that he has given you, praise the name of the Lord, so that you may abound in blessings and abound and do good, because God wants to look at you and say the things he said about Jesus. He said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased, praise the name of the Lord. Now, we find out that the Bible tells us that prayer goes up for us to be counted worthy and to fulfill his pleasing. That prayer goes up before us. That's what the Bible tells us. Well, we'll find that in 2 Thessalonians. If you'll turn with me praise the name of the Lord, the Second Thessalonians, going all the way to verse 1, and then I'm going to actually go back because I kind of skipped over something. Holy Spirit, just check my spirit. I don't want to be obedient. But if you put your finger in Second Thessalonians, praise the name of the Lord, in the first chapter, and then we're going to come back. But go back, if you don't mind, to Ephesians. Let me finish reading up that scripture because I should have stopped a little further. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for just guiding me. Going on in Ephesians, the first chapter, praise the name of the Lord, amen. Going on to verse 5, having predestined us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now, going to verse 6. Now, why did he set us aside according to the world? Why did he destine us? Why did he pre-describe a life for us? Well, that is for verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, when he has made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we also have redemption through his blood for the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace, verse 8, when he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, verse 9, having made known unto us the history of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself. Now listen to that scripture. Verse 9 is very fulfilling. It's very meaty, as we say in the word. It says here, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, he has purposed us. Now, some people say that God is mysterious and he's a mystery. No, that's not the word he's using. Because if God was a mystery, he wouldn't tell us. He would have told us in the past what he was doing. He wouldn't tell us in the future what he's going to do, and he wouldn't have told us in the present what he's doing. But that thing mystery means that there is a level of understanding that you need to get to so you can understand what it is that God is calling you to do. The Bible tells us also in Ephesians, in the same first chapter, around the 17, 18 verse, it says that the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened, that we will know the hope of our calling. So that's the mystery. The mystery is that he has, not that he has some kind of secret out there, but what he's saying is that you have to get an understanding, a revelation, an epiphany of something of the will of God for your life. Jesus said it like this, I only do what I see. That's what he said. I only do what I see the Father doing. And sometimes we don't discover what we are and who we are until we see someone doing it. I did not know whether I was a prophet. I just knew I had these different gifts. I didn't know what to call it. When I was younger, I was operating in the prophetic. But until I saw a prophet, I said, aha, that's what God has called me to be. He's called me to be a prophet. I realized I wasn't an apostle. I realized what the apostles did. That's not what God called me. Well, God didn't call me to be an evangelist. That's not what he called. The prophet is what God called me. So now I begin to go after the things that God has for me in the prophetic. That's where my gift lies. That's what God has predestined. That's his purpose. So then he also has given me the gift and the talent that is through the Spirit in order to fulfill that call. So again, verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure. So his will, the mystery of his will is according to his good pleasure. In other words, he has things that he's given us to please him. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, I think about Christmas. And one of the things I love about Christmas when I was being a younger parent was I got a bigger kick out of just watching my children open their presents. I got a kick out of that because I knew my children were pleased. And what made me even happier was knowing the things that they desire were wrapped up in those little pieces of paper, and just to see their face and the joy and excitement that they had when they discovered that the manifestation of things that they desire and they will was then provided for them. God takes pleasure in the prosperity of his people. God wants to see us prosper, yes, financially, yes, he does. He wants to see us prosper in our faith, our faith. He wants to see us prosper in our health. He wants to see us prosper in wisdom and knowledge and knowing him. He wants you to have money. He wants you to have things. He wants you to be blessed, yes, within perspective. Yes, he does, so that you can be pleasing to him. And then every now and then, a parent who's any worth, if you're a parent worth your weight in gold, a parent loves boasting and bragging on that child that pleases them. Oh, mom talks about that child that has great straight A's, because they are excited about the accomplishment of their children. God wants to boast and brag on you when you accomplish those preset things that he's set in your life, when he's watching you maximize the gift that you have praise the name of the Lord, that you may grow in his knowledge and wisdom. Moving right along, going to verse 10. Verse 10 of Ephesians 1, and going to verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both who are in heaven and which are on the earth, even him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. In other words, the Bible tells us that he's working this thing in accordance to what he has already agreed to. He counseled this thing. This was not something that God just threw at us. He counseled. He had him, Holy Spirit, and the Word counseled, had a council, had a meeting concerning us, concerning you. Yes, I mean, concerning you. I say this often, that when God chose you, he did not second guess. Praise the name of the Lord. He did not second guess. When he saw you, when he created you, he knew you were the one. I remember being a child, because I'm tall, I primarily got picked a lot when I wanted to play basketball or football because I was tall and athletic. But I always wondered how the people felt who were the last one to get chose. We had to do the eeny, meeny, or the miny, mo. Those two last people, they were chosen. I felt sorry for them growing up because, first of all, I'm glad I wasn't those person, just to be honest. I was glad that I was chosen first. But I always wondered how those people felt to have to be deliberated over, the best out of the worst, you know. So I know that Philip might have been hurt. But let me tell you on today that when God chose you out of the 100 million spermatozoans that was released by your father to your mom, when he saw you, he knew you were the one. And you are here because you are the one that God wants to please, because God wants you to please him. You are the one. You are not a mistake. You were hand-chosen by God, and all of them came in agreement. Holy Spirit, the Word, and the Father all agreed that you should live on this earth, that you should fulfill a purpose. And then they gave you a design, they gave you a prescript, they gave you everything that you need. All you have to do is walk in his abundance. Praise the name of the Most High God. I'm excited about the Word today. Now, as we go forth, let's talk about some of the things that's the issue. Because the man inherent desire to please, there are four areas that men sometimes lose themselves in because they have that desire to please. They lose themselves in. And how they lose themselves, because there's four things that man definitely needs. There's four things that man definitely needs. There's a plethora of things that we might need, but there are things that we cannot live without that we have to have. And those four areas that I want to bring to you is, first of all, man wants to be loved. Man wants to give love, man wants to be accepted, and man wants to be understood. We all want to be loved. We all want somebody to like us. We all want somebody to love us, and we will do things that we think please them in order for them to love us. Have you ever been in a relationship where you've done so much to please this person to no avail, and no matter what you did, they were not pleased, but you lost yourself in trying to please them because you had a desire to be pleased? And sometimes we work to do things to please. A child calls mama, daddy, look at me, look at what I'm doing. I want you to be excited. I want your attention. I want you to be pleased and me doing a flip, me sliding down the sliding board, me drawing a picture. Aren't you proud? They look with such acceptance. And we understand as parents that we need to give a response to their exclaim of, do you see me? So we all want to be loved. We all want to give love. We all want to. We want to love people. Yes, we do. No matter how mean we might seem to be or how honorary we might seem to be, we want to give love. We want to give what's in our heart to someone else, whether it's a brother, sister, or a significant other, in the sense of those who we are married to or we are espoused to or have a desire to marry. The next thing is we want to be accepted. No one likes rejection. Rejection is a very hurtful thing. Praise the name of the Lord. You can even receive rejection from the womb. You actually receive rejection from the seed. You can actually receive rejection prior to the birth of the person who birthed you. Yeah, it goes back that far. And let me tell you something, that when we want to be accepted, sometimes we will sacrifice and forfeit who we are in order to receive acceptance. Sometimes women will be with men and sleep with them and be all the men want them to be just because they want to be accepted. Sometimes men spend everything they have and give everything they have just to have a woman who, praise the name of the Lord, to be with them. Sometimes people sacrifice things, people who dabble into homosexuality and things of that nature will get prayed over even if they don't want to be, praise the name, even if they don't want to be in that kind of lifestyle, all because they want to be accepted. People are drawn to gangs. They're drawn to gangs all because they're looking for a place of acceptance. When we go sit down at a lunch table when we're in high school or grade school, we go to the place where we feel like we'll be accepted. We avoid those places that we think were rejected. If you were not what they considered a jock, if you was what they considered a nerd, well, you found people that would accept you. And here's the thing about it. We find people that would accept us where we are, and sometimes it has nothing to do with us just because they would accept us. And sometimes people will accept us just because they want to use us, but we have succumbed to that all because we want to be accepted. And the last thing I talked about was that we want to be understood. Everyone seeks understanding. So we talk to people that seem that understand us or seemingly understand us, and we do that to the degree where, again, we sacrifice and forfeit who we are. We do want people to hear us. And not only do we want people to hear us, we don't necessarily need agreement. We don't need agreement, but we need understanding. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, that's what we look. You know, we ask people those things. And so when we find people who will understand us, we gravitate to those people. We talk to those people. And guess what else we do? We become vulnerable and begin to reveal our secrets to people we think that understand us. And the reason why we do that, because that person can identify with something, or that person has learned the patience of listening to us. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank God for that. Now, to the degree that we seek out men, we're looking for their approval. We look for man approval. And so because of all these things, we are looking for a man's approval to be happy about us. We want them to give us accolades. We want to be patted on the head. An animal will begin, a dog himself will begin to pull his ears back, lower his head in submission just to receive acceptance. And once he gets reception, acceptance, once you begin to pat him, then his ears goes up and then he's excited. See, he comes in real meek. He reduces who he is and his character in order to be accepted. I want you to understand this, and listen to this, it's very important. A dog, again, he or she will bow her head, her ears will go back, they will kind of crouch and kind of crawl up on you, and once you begin to accept them by rubbing them, then the ears pop up and they get to jumping and moving around because what they do is they reduce themselves, praise the name, oh Jesus, in order to receive our acceptance. We do the same thing. Sometimes we reduce ourselves of who we are and just so that we can get patted on the head and then we become healthy and happy again and jumping around. Whereas in God, we don't have to reduce ourselves because God takes pleasure in our prosperity. So God wants to see us abounding. But again, we try to please man. So now we're going to turn to Ephesians 6 chapter, Ephesians 6:6, and it tells us verse 5, so servants obey to them that are master according to the flesh with fear, which talks about respect, and trembleth, and singleness of your heart as in Christ. The Bible tells us not with eye service as men pleases, but as service unto God or Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Our focus and our desire and the thing that we should do is focus on pleasing God, amen, and not pleasing men. And so our focus and our drive, if you will, should be that of pleasing the Lord. Just to connect with this, just to find a scripture to support this, is going to go into Colossians 3, and we're going to go all the way over to verse 22. So we're going to go Colossians 3 and 22. And Colossians 3 and 22 says, praise the name of the Lord, Colossians 3, 22. It tells us, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleases, but in singleness of heart, fearing or reverencing God. So now, here we are. Sometimes we do things for people out of straight fear because we're afraid that they're not going to be pleased or they're going to retaliate on us. But we need to understand that we give glory and honor to God for what he has done by obeying him. Now, my last few points, and I'm closing. How do we please God? There's several ways that we can please God. Amen. One way we can please God is by being people of faith. We can please God by being people of faith. And Scripture is very clear on that. So if you will, turn with me to Hebrews 11 chapter. Hebrews 11 chapter. I always tell my little corny joke about why I say Jesus like coffee, because Hebrews, and I know it's a corny joke, but some people still laugh at it. Praise the name of the Lord. But the 11th chapter in verse 6 says this: but without faith it's impossible. It is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder to him that diligently seek him. So if we find out that without faith you cannot please God, then what can we do with faith? It's safe for me to say, with faith we can please God. God is pleased by our faith, because in order for us to have great faith, we have to have great trust. We operate in faith to the degree we believe and trust God. We operate in faith to the degree that we believe and trust God. And so if we believe him and we trust him, we'll begin to abound in many things, and we go from one faith experience to another faith experience. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, also, we find out that what else pleases God? When you sacrifice, and in the process of sacrifice, you please God. You're already in Hebrews, turn to the 13th chapter. When we sacrifice, God wants us to have a life of sacrifice. Amen? He wants us to have a life of sacrifice. Now, sacrifice is not actually a bad word. Sacrifice is actually a good word, because you can't get anything without sacrificing. You can't buy that house without sacrificing the time you take to go to work or work in your business. It's always sacrificing everything we do, and we understand the sacrifices. Our parents sacrificed for us to have the necessary things we have in our life. You sacrifice to get the necessary things you have. If you want to know the knowledge of God, you got to sacrifice time and get into your word and get into prayer. So sacrifice is a beautiful thing. The 13th chapter of Hebrews, and I told you that we're talking about sacrifice, going all the way down to the 16th verse, it reads, But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifice God is well pleased. So I'm going to go back to verse 15. It says, by him, therefore, let us offer sacrifice and praise to God continuously, yet that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. So God is pleased in sacrifices. The Bible says that we are to be living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God. Well, God tells us we shall be living sacrifices, or we should have a lifestyle of sacrifice. That's what that means. Living sacrifice means you should have a lifestyle of sacrifice. You know, I hear people talk about it, and I hear it often, praise the Lord, that favor is not fair. But that doesn't follow with the scripture. I think it sounds cute, it's cliche, but factually, favor is fair. Favor is predicated on how you sacrifice. The Bible tells us if you give sparingly, you receive sparingly. If you give bountifully, you receive bountifully. The Bible says you're able to cause all grace or favor to abound towards you, that you may have all sufficiency in all things. Well, that's sacrifice. The more you sacrifice, the more favor you get. The less you sacrifice, the less favor you get. Favor is predicated on what you do. So you determine how much favor you get and how much favor you're not going to get. Amen? So when you receive favor, praise the name of the Lord, you're receiving what God has given back to you in conjunction with what you have given. So favor is perfectly fair. To say favor is not fair is to say God is not fair and God is fair. It might not seem fair, but the thing is, what you do in the dark comes in the light. And that just doesn't work with just sin. But if you're behind closed doors working and saving and adding up your money and paying your bills and doing all of those different things, people will see the manifestation of your discipline, and then you begin to receive the blessings that God has for you. Then we're going to also talk about a couple of more points, and then I'll be through. We also need a life of righteousness. He wants us to live a life of righteousness. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. A life of righteousness. If you would turn one to our Old Testament scriptures, going to Isaiah, the 42nd chapter, Isaiah 42:21. The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. So God is well pleased for righteousness' sake. So God loves righteousness. Righteousness simply means to be in right standing with God. It means everything is caught up, everything is clear. When you're in right standing with your creditors, that means you don't owe them anything. You're current. Watch out, somebody. When you are current with God, if you will, he deems you righteous, praise him, the Lord, and he's pleased about your righteousness, that you're doing the things he asks you to do. You are in right standing with him. There's nothing that you need to clean up or clear up. Praise God. If you live a life of sacrifice, you come to God and begin to tell God what it is that you need help in. We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse from all our righteousness, and we sacrifice our pride and tell God straight up what's going on. The Bible says not only does he forgive us, but he cleanses us from all our righteousness, and it doesn't say that he's going to get us back for the things we've done. If he cleanses the crime scene, there's no more crime scene, and so if there's no crime scene, I cannot be deemed guilty. Praise the name of the Lord. Also, he wants us to be fruitful in his work. Okay? He wants us to be fruitful in his work. Last two scriptures, this is Colossians, and then after that, I have one more point, and then I'll turn it back over to the woman of God. But in Colossians, the first chapter, we find out he wants us to be in a life of being fruitful, a life of being fruitful. Colossians 1 and 10. It says that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Verse 11, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto patience and long-suffering. And with joyfulness, long-suffering and joyfulness. So we find here that he wants us to walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. So he wants us to be pleasing by being fruitful. That word fruitful talks about producing. Watch this. Being fruitful does not just mean producing fruit. Being fruitful does not just mean producing fruit. But being fruitful means producing fruit that has the ability to reproduce. Got it? Being fruitful means producing fruit that has the ability to reproduce. God is not concerned about the produce. He's concerned about the reproduce. And somebody got that. In other words, he's glad you got the apple. So take that apple and take those five seeds out of there and make five trees that all those five trees can create thousands of fruit. See what I'm saying? He's concerned about what the fruit produces, not necessarily you producing fruit. Yeah, you're going to produce fruit, but he wants that fruit to remain. What do you mean remain? It remains because it's producing, it's perpetual. Because you take one apple and get five trees, you take that five trees and you go ahead and get 1,000 apples, you plant 5,000 more trees, and it's continuously. So if you have one bad harvest, you're going to have some trees that's going to still be producing. And that's what God wants you to do. Last point. For the day. Praise God. He gives his spirit to those who pleases him. Wow, I like that. He gives his spirit to those who pleases him. He's talking about Holy Spirit. We're talking Matthew, the 12th chapter. Matthew 12 and verse 18. Matthew 12 and verse 18. It says, behold, my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased, I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. So we find out that when he is well pleased, he puts his spirit, his marking, his approval on us. Isn't that awesome? That when we're pleasing to God, God will put his stamp of approval. You know, we have different types of meat, different types of things. When you see Q&A, you know, the assembly quality, the people on the assembly line, they have to stamp things to say that it meets the standard. Praise the name of, oh, my God. It meets the standard of pleasing to that person who looked at it. Well, we want to be well-pleasing to God. We want to be able to meet the standard that God says, this is a well-pleasing life, this is a well-pleasing situation, and we thank God for that. Father, we thank you for the word that went forth, in order to go on deaf ears. We worship and praise and magnify you. That the people are being made free on tonight, God, I feel the anointing of God to break the yoke. And we do glorify and praise you, God, for strength, wisdom, and insight. And we give God all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
Glory be to God. What a word, man of God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. And God loves you. And he wants you to be able to please him. But in order to walk in faith, he said he gave us faith as big as a mustard seed. Glory be to God. You have to have called on Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Glory be to God. Faith pleases God. So if you have not called on Jesus Christ as your precious Lord and Savior, just repeat after me, glory be to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Father, I am a sinner, and I ask you to come into my heart and forgive me, Jesus. I ask you to come into my heart and make me new in the name of Jesus. I ask you to cleanse me in the name of Jesus, by faith, use that faith that's in you. I believe that Jesus died and rose again. Hallelujah, Jesus. If you said that prayer, welcome to the body of Christ. Today is your birthday. You are born again in Christ.
Yes, God.
And my prayer for you is that you get filled with the Holy Ghost, where rivers of living water flowing out of your belly. Glory be to God. And if you repeat it after me, you can go to www.kingdomdaughters.org. Put in the comment box. Let us know. We would love to pray for you. We would love to send you a Bible. You are not alone. Hallelujah. And I just ask that you will find you a Bible-teaching, Holy Ghost-filled church so you can continue to get fed. Welcome. The angels are rejoicing. And also, if you want to give a donation to Kingdom Daughters, you can also go again to www.kingdomdaughters.org. And it is a secure website. Glory be to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Man of God, what a word tonight, what a word. I am going to open up the lines for comments and testimony. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. If you have noise in your background, can you please mute your phone and open up the line? Glory be to God. And if you come forth, can you state your name and where you're calling from?
Where is it? Right here? Yeah.
Glory to God. If you have noise in your background, can you please read your phone? Hallelujah, Jesus. You're truly worthy of all the glory and honor and praise. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Father. Praise you, God. Again, if you have noise in your background, please mute your phone. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. The lines are now open. If you have a prayer request, a comment, you may come forth. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Praise the name of
God. Hallelujah.
Amen. The devil is a liar. All that background distraction going to have to stop. Well, this is Prophetess Teresa Docks, and I'm excited to hear the man of God go forth tonight. Prophet Ward, just wanted to let you know we have much love for you. We truly enjoyed the word tonight. We were blessed.
We give God all the glory. Thank God for his outpouring, and it is an outpouring of favor this year. It's a year of favor and prosperity. We thank God for the honor. It's always an honor to speak the word of God, because it's him speaking through us truly if we are vessels of we thank God for him working through us. Praise the Lord. That's what we thank you for providing. Yeah, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Truly, we truly give God the honor and glory, for we know that he's with you and all on you, and we just bless God for that. And I just thank you, Evangelist Hannah, for, you know, inviting you and having you on the line, and I'm excited because it's just like old times. I know we're having a lot of distractions in the background of the lines. The lines are filled. The internet is a lot of people on the line. I just want to encourage you tonight that if you know that you have a background sound or you got your computer on and you got your phone on speaker, it's not going to work. So I need you to either cut your computer down, take your phone off of a speaker so that you can come in and have comments, prayer requests, so we can move forward. And I just want to thank again a prophet word for a mighty word, and truly, I'll be going in archives on the internet to listen to the broadcast again. God bless you.
Minister Hannah?
Yes.
Minister, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, that was just a wonderful word. Glory be to God. You know what? I just wanted you to just speak on the workshop that you're going to have this month.
Sure.
I don't know how much time you have left, but I know that I am so excited about it, and I know that if there's more listeners, that, I mean, this is a workshop that I know that God is going to do some, is going to move in it. So can you just touch a little bit on that workshop that's going on this month?
Yes, I can. Glory to God. Kingdom Builders International is having a prophetic training and activation workshop in the Chicago area. It will be October the 27th, 28th, and 29th. The 27th and the 28th, it will be from 6:30 to 9:30. The 29th will be from 9 to 5. The lunch will be provided. Glory to God. The host church is the Greater Straightway Full Gospel, 10359 South King Drive. Glory be to God. You can go to www.kingdomdaughters.org to register. The fee is $60. Glory to God for our overhead. And we are also having another prophetic training and workshop in the Detroit, Michigan area, November the 17th, 18th, and 19th. When we secure the place, we will let you know. Come out. God is speaking to his people. He have not called everyone to be a prophet or a prophetess, but he wants all his children to recognize, to know his voice. He may be telling you to go left and you go right, and it's danger right. So glory be to God. Come out. The men of God that are facilitating the program is Apostle Emmons. Glory be to God. Prophet Ward will be one of our teachers for one of the sessions. Glory be to God. Come out. It's 3 days full of teaching, 3 days full of the word of God, where you can eat a world food for 3 days. Glory be to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. And also, the man of God is from Renewing the Mind Ministries. Glory to God. He has service at 125 East 163rd Street in Harvey, Illinois, Sundays at 11 a.m. and every Friday at 7 p.m. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So if you're in the Chicago line area, go and fellowship with the man of God, because he is a mighty soldier, a general for the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory be to God. If there's any more comments or prayer requests, you may come forth now. Hallelujah, Jesus. Is Elder Cynthia on the line? Hello.
Praise the Lord. Hello.
Praise
the Lord. Evangelist. I really truly enjoyed this evening sermon teaching, and I was hoping to come here to Chicago, but it seems as though I'm not able to travel right now. But I hope to see you and meet you in November here in Detroit. And if you all are selling DVDs or CDs at the workshop for October, put me in for an order.
Glory be to God. Yes, we will, woman of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah,
yes.
Jesus. Thank you, God. God gets all the glory for tonight. He gets all the glory for what he's doing in Kingdom Builders International. And he gets all the glory for this program. It's his will. Glory be to God. Thank you, woman of God. Hallelujah, Jesus.
You asked about prayer requests. There are a few people, but I'm just going to name maybe two or three. One is my nephew. We cannot find him again, and his name is Dino. Another one is my sister Carrie. She's home recuperating from surgery. And another one is my other sister, whose her prayer is for her to get well. So I don't want to go into detail about her, you know, her personal business, but her prayer request is she wants to get well.
Man of God, a prophet, can you please pray for the woman of God?
Most definitely. Father God, we thank you that you know all and you see all. We thank you, Father God, that we have the authority to speak the word and that you would honor the word that we speak. I thank you for Brother Dino where he is, God. You're with him already. You know exactly where he is. But I thank you, Father God, that you're working in him to will and do it your good pleasure, that the eyes of his understanding be enlightened, that he would know what his purpose is. We bind up everything that's around him, any kind of drugs, any kind of situations, any kind of lifestyle that is not according to the word of God. He would fall into the hands of those who are good for him, people that know the word of God. I prophesy life. I speak health. I speak strength for this man of God, that he will be returned, oh God. But you would save him and deliver him, God, from anything that he is fighting through. Thank you for the woman of God, sister of God, especially the element of God of bleeding. We know, Father God, that you can stay bleeding. We command it to stop. Go to the source of the situation. Heal it, Father God, in the name of Jesus. The other sister who has an issue, Father God, that we don't know, that's unbeknownst to us, you know it. So, God, we stand on the word of God. We thank you, Father God, that healing is the children's bread. We speak life. You said no sickness come nigh our dwelling. You said you healeth all of our diseases. You told us to go into this. You gave the disciple power to cure diseases. So this disease, this situation, this sickness is cured according to their faith, and we continue to speak life. Then God add a blessing to the woman of God for just requesting prayer. Because of that, Father God, she sacrificed her own needs for us just to know the needs of those whom she loved. So now, God, give her the prayer of her heart, the desires of heart, everything she's aching and hurting, oh God, when she's going through some things, personal of God, or whatever it is she might be that had on her mind. We thank you, Father God, because she made the sacrifice to speak on others, that you would bless her tremendously, God, financially, that every need is met. And God, you're granting a favor throughout the court system, you're granting a favor throughout all the situations in our city, a situation, God, concerning health and concerning travel. We thank you, Father God, that you are manifesting your glory in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Glory be to God. Thank you, men of God. Thank you, men of God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Father, you are truly worthy of all the glory and honor and praise. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God, I cover Prophet Ward in your blood, Lord God, for all that he has poured out tonight on these lands, God. I pray that you will fill him with a double portion of your spirit, God. In the name of Jesus, God, I come against any spirit of retaliation, God. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God, I pray right now, God, that you will continue, Lord God, to supply every need for the men of God. In the name of Jesus, God, I pray right now, Lord, that you will continue to commission your warfare angels, God, to warfare on his behalf, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus, God. I pray for increase in his life, Lord God, increase in his ministry, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus, God. I come against right now, Lord God, anything that the enemy has sent against the men of God or his ministry, God, witchcraft prayer, God, negative prayer, God, or negative word, God, that has been sent out against the men of God. I counsel it, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus. I cut it from the root, Father, as Jesus crossed the fig tree, Lord God, and it did not rise again, Lord God. Any word spoken against the men of God shall not rise in the mighty name of Jesus, God. Hallelujah, Father. I pray right now, God, that you will continue, God, to give the men of God the desires of his heart, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus, God. I cover Prophet Ward in the blood of Jesus, Lord God. I thank you for the hedge of protection, God, that you have around the men of God, in the mighty name of Jesus, God. Hallelujah. Oh, God, it is shut down. Hey. God. Hallelujah, Jesus. And you get all the praises, God, and all the glory, God, and all the honor, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray, amen, and glory be to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Don't go to the east, I will see you. Your word is Father, and I say, come on, shut up. Of all the glory and honor and praise, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. And I thank God again for everyone that has called in. And I thank God for all the internet listeners. Glory be to God. And I thank God for showing up and showing out tonight. And I thank everyone that has called in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I pray blessings upon you, and Kingdom Builders International love you. God loves you. And good night.